the internet, and welcome to season 180, episode 4 of Today's Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Thursday, April 15th, 2021, the morning that after the Titanic sunk.
Oh, shit.
Yo, I think my 4-year-old, almost 5-year-old, might be psychic. Because he just randomly asked me yesterday. He was like, when did that boat sink? And I looked it up. And sure enough, I was like, wait a second.
Today.
You little creep. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I found it in a place called Taco Bell. Strange looking color and a funky smell. They called it Baja. B-A-J-A, Baja. I took a little sip and wept with glee. Now I've drank so much that it burns when I pee. That's Baja. B-A-J-A, Baja. Baja, Baja. That's courtesy of at Pudge Moran. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Now coming out of the penalty box after serving a 5-minute major for slashing with his hockey stick directly to an opponent's throat in the game, playing for the Washington Capitals, formerly of the Trashedville Shredditors, formerly of the Buffalo Grabbers, rookie playing for the Minnesota Miles, or you may know him from the Toronto Vapor Leaves, or the San Jose Sparks, or in fact the Boston Cold Bruins, it's the Blazing Sensation on Ice, Miles Gray!
Hey! Thank you so much for having me. Woo! Thank you to The Brew and Pudge Moran. Actually, you know, Pudge Moran kicked it off in the Discord. That's how they said, I have this one. I need help, Discord. Okay. Then, boom, Pudge. The answers came in.
Pudge is bringing it, even though I will have to call him out that he did spell Baja, B-A-H-A, in his original draft of the song. And then was really hard on himself. He was like, oh, I'm so dumb. I was like, oh, that's all right. That's how
I did it. I did it colonizer style.
First of all, sir, you should know that all things have to be written phonetically for me. So you were right to.
But that's when you know it gets racist, because that's when like the feds started spelling marijuana with a H to start slandering like immigrants, like Mexican immigrants. So when you go from the J to the H,
There's got to be a weed strain called Vapor Leaf, right? Or like a Canadian weed strain.
Vapor Leaf? Yeah. I don't know. Not really.
Maybe it's not as good as I thought it was. Maybe it just sounds good coming from you. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, in a weird, aggressive announcer voice, sure. But do you want to someone be like, hey, man, do you want a Vapor Leaf? You're like, all right, Vapor Leaf, fuck away from me.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented Ayumi Shinozaki.
Welcome. I do have an AKA if it's okay.
Let's go.
Of course.
Okay. Let's go, Ayumi. Encouraged. Let's fucking go.
Let's see. I'll try my best. Okay. I star with trending, and I know why. Everybody knows Miles Gray's is high. Keep this in mind, Jack O'Brien's size while I share from Japan. All I know, this pod is a second-rate thing. Don't you know you should searching something? Still a countdown to the end of COVID. Doom scrolling ticks times a week. You so not real. No, I can't let this go. Watch me keep going beside the window, trying to fill time. Didn't even know I'm famous for art and for watching shows all about magic girls. And even though I tried, this all fell apart. And what it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time when I was a guest on TDZ. And my name is Ayushi Nozaki.
Wow. Oh my God. Drop the bomb on that one.
Please add a bomb drop.
Linkin Park. Yes. Love it.
Well, I have to give a shout out to The Brew and Geek Create. Also Juju, who didn't participate in this particular one, but I went to Zeitcord and I asked for Linkin Park, AKA, and they helped me out with the beginning. And then I just kind of
got
the ball rolling.
Beauty.
Thank you. I think with especially within the end, you can't just kind of stop in the middle of the verse. You have to keep going.
No.
And the hard part is doing the, you know, over the rap when Chad would have to be like,
I've come so far.
Like, you can't split your voice and do it. So, like, I like it. You're like, I've come so far. It's just, you got to honor them. Yeah. It's tough. Yeah.
Yo, yeah. In the pocket.
Yeah.
And coming to us from Japan, as you mentioned in the song. Oh, I mean, you did all our work for us right there. Like, you told the people who it is. You're a, you are an artist whose art people need to check out. Is very cool shit.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're in Japan, making me jealous. with counting down the days so I can go back. I wore my Passmo shirt today.
Oh, oh okay. Wow! Yeah.
You know, nice. For people who don't know, it's for. You know, using the public transportation in Japan. Someone made a shirt about. I was like, yo, let me get that. You don't know what that's about.
Oh, that's dope.
There's merch for absolutely everything in Japan. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, which is the strangest thing. It's like, oh, are you a fan of this can of Boss coffee? Because there's a whole line of, do you want a pencil case shaped like this can of coffee? You want a keychain shaped like this can of coffee? You want a hat that's shaped like... It's a lot.
They treat all products like Americans treat Baja Blast.
Yeah, I mean... In a way, I hope that Japan, that as a culture, we can get our hands on Baja Blast culture, because we'll turn this shit up to the next level.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be all kinds of new kinds of fashion, Baja Blast fashion. You know what I mean? We took shit like fucking Lolita shit and made that a whole fashion. Fucking Baja Blast, it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm imagining Baja Blast Lolita.
Oh no.
Right.
Actually, I mean, never mind.
Baja Blast Lola.
But like, yeah, because in Harajuku or wherever, you'll see a lot of like Lolita fashion people.
Right.
Now the pinks and whites have been replaced with that very specific shade of Baja Blue. Wow.
Yeah.
Lacy Baja Blast outfits. Okay. Look.
Also, I just have to shout out Zeitgang, because we kind of had a brief conversation about how like the Baja Blast thing is a little bit washed towards the end of last week, and they were like, and that means that it should be every AK for this show, and they were right about that.
That's,
what
can we do?
Yeah
it's we are washed. It is
100%
washed. All right, Ayumi, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we'll tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We are nationally at the point that a lot of high school juniors, seniors, college freshmen are at, where everybody's looking at that fake ID game, seeing if we have a friend who can make sick fake IDs, because apparently you can forge the New York Vax Pass in 11 minutes.
Yes.
Just real quick, like.
Easy, baby. That's what we were saying. That's what we need. An easy to forge document that to a very complex issue that has a lot of civil liberties implications.
We're going to talk about the anti-trans bills that are being rolled out at a state level in Texas and Arkansas. Just absolute violence. Absolute, like, just if they want y'all to know they're evil. They're
100%. Yeah, because they're not even solving. Yeah. They're not even. They can't even point to a problem they're solving.
No.
Aside from, we're just trying to brutalize trans
people. We're just
trying
to fuck people up, fuck people's lives up. We're going to talk about whether police should be armed. We're going to talk about Colton Underwood, former Bachelor, who came out on Good Morning America yesterday. If we have time, we will talk about the Fast 9 trailer, and we will definitely make time to talk about White Claw Surge. All
of
that.
What the fuck is that?
People are acting like it has caffeine in it just because the word surge is attached to it, but it's just a surge of
alcohol.
Yeah, they just double the alcohol. They're just like,
so now you're just drinking.
There's going to be a surge of accidents around your house, but I don't know about that. Yeah.
I wonder if it's because of the old, you know, late 90s green soda Coca-Cola came out with called Surge. Because that ad campaign, we've talked about on the show when it came back around, like in 2018 or whatever. The commercials were literally teenagers screaming in the streets.
Surge!
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah. So if I hear Surge, I'm not going to be like, oh, it's a gentle thing.
A lot of people give 28 Days Later credit for creating the Fast Zombies, but it was actually Surge commercials.
Surge. Yeah. All that?
Yeah. We'll get to all of that plenty more, but first, Ayumi, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
So this was kind of hard to choose. I have a safe for work and not safe for work choice. I don't know which one I should be going with, though.
Definitely not safe for work.
What's work?
Well, okay. So in that case...
I like that roulette. Well, in that...
hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
So in that case, well, because most of my search history is just like stuff for my own podcast and then just like stuff about COVID in Japan and, you know, just keeping track of things. And so a recent thing I had to search for is exercise for sex, meaning like exercise to make sure that like you're physically capable of having sex, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, like being in peak sex shape.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Like the training montage before the sex scene in one's life.
The Rocky of sex.
Yeah. Well, I think it just like for me, like, I mean, like most people, but especially for me recently, I've just like been dealing with a kind of change in my just like physical behavior, like in terms of a job change and stuff. I'm at home more. We never had a lockdown over here, by the way.
Right.
But I've been home a lot more. I'm trying to like walk every day and stuff, but like I've just noticed I'm tired all the time. And so I decided to like kind of give that a search. And like almost everything is for like cishet guys. So it was kind of hard to find something that would actually apply to me, but I did, and it looks very difficult, but like, I don't know. It's like very, there are all these like super complicated things that have also, I don't know if it's because of the source or whatever, that it like has this higher expectation of what your base level is, I guess.
Right.
Well, yeah. So what's the sort of philosophical thrust, so to speak,
miles
of like fuck fitness for non-cis, because I'd imagine the cishet bro version is like, dude, you got to get your core in shape or else you're not gonna be fucking pumping, jackhammering away, get your glutes activated, make sure your hip flexors aren't fucking tight, you loser, and get your really, and also don't use your back. You got to get your thighs involved too, or whatever that, how I feel the tone of that article is. So
my Kama Sutra is men's fitness, and always has been.
And American Gladiator reruns.
And American Gladiator.
Oh my God. Yeah, I would say, so like, I think the one I found was like on Cosmo, I think, and it was, or something like equivalent to that.
Right.
And it's just like all kinds of different like stretches and like there's some core stuff also, but it's mostly like making sure your body can do all the things, I guess. And its assumption is like you're it's also assuming like straight sex in the first place, but yeah, it's saying, oh yeah, your man's gonna put you in all kinds of different positions, and it's like, sure, whatever.
Sure. If you say so. Already
yeah. High assumptions, but yeah, so it just yeah, I just wanted, like, I just was curious to see if there's anything. I know that there is, like, more specific stuff. There's on the This Is Good For You podcast, I think the first or second episode of that podcast was about the cowgirl workout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's that?
So that is, so that's done by, gosh, what's her name? Tayomi. She's like a sex expert and, like, a I guess, kind of, like, advice kind of columnist or something like that. Like she puts, I know her from like putting lots of, she makes like videos online for like explaining how positions work and stuff like that. But it's very much like woman focused. I would say it's probably more specifically Black woman focused, honestly, because she is a Black woman, but it has a lot of stuff that really is helpful for all sorts of people, I think. But I've heard about her from other podcasts and stuff as well. But yeah, she was on that podcast. And so she was talking about that workout, and I remember wanting to check it out. It was a little expensive, and I don't really have that kind of money right now, but
sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's interesting that there's starting to be more stuff like that out there for people, I think. Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
So, overrated. I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this, but I would say talent, or like the word talent. So this is kind of speaking as an artist. So I got my training like a long time ago, back in high school primarily. I've been kind of drawing on and off, but doing other stuff. I was an English major in university and all these things. So kind of like art became kind of more of a hobby, but like I still continue to do it, you know, in my free time. And I just get very tired at this age, like I'm 30 now, and I'm always hearing people say, oh, you are so talented. Your art is so good. You're so talented. And art is a skill, just like any other skill, any other trade that you can do. And so, like, it's something I studied to do. Like, I didn't just, like, magically become good at art. Like, I had to work to get good at art, right. I guess. So I know that people mean well when they say that, but I prefer the word skilled over talented, I would say.
Yeah, I think because I think it obscures an essential part of what it means to do like any kind of creative art that you engage in. I think to put that word talent, because I used to have this idea too of what art was or what an artist was or did. Mm-hmm. And it was a person who was just, I don't know, you got these freaks walking around called artists.
Right.
They just can't help themselves but to pick up a brush or an instrument or whatever, and they just fucking do their thing. It's wild. It's like they're like kind of the superheroes of our culture in a weird way, without really like thinking like, no, these are all just fucked up people who this is a thing they really like to do. And the process of even being creative is like, it's never this magical thing where someone was just thinking so originally and they came up with something. I think that's why there's like a book I read. It's a very easy read. It's called like How to Steal Like an Artist. That really helps like deconstruct this idea that like people aren't just iterating on things that happened that they've looked at or were influenced by, rather than this idea that like in a vacuum you're hit with inspiration and coming up with something so next level. And I think that maybe will help people embrace like their own interest in a certain artistic endeavor. Like it's like anything, it's a muscle. The first shit you're going to do isn't going to be fucking good. It's going to be whack, but you like it and it doesn't matter. And that's the beauty of it, is that it doesn't matter. You just keep doing it and you get better and better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think most artists like to, at some point, you know, we all like to redraw stuff not just necessarily draw, like any art, you know, they like to redo the thing that they did before to see how they've grown. It's like the easiest way also to show other people how they've grown. Of course, I draw so differently from what I did like 10 years ago or, you know, 20 years ago when I was a kid. But while I guess right now I'm more primarily doing like digital painting and stuff like that, I do also lots of fiber art. So I'm also working in starting knitwear design. So I knit and I spin, I sew a little bit. And those are all skills also. And I didn't always know how to do those things either.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just looking at the art, like when you go to your Twitter feed, there's like four different pieces of art in your pinned tweet. And
oh, yeah, because it was portfolio day. Yeah.
It's very like it's encouraging to me to hear you say that like talent, like that it's not just God-given talent, because like this is like you have photorealistic stuff, you have like really cool looking like more cartoon influenced stuff, and like I just feel like people I would look at that and be like, okay, here's somebody who just woke up and was able to like reproduce whatever was inside their head, so that's pretty dope to hear.
I still think that my art could use improvement, but I do appreciate hearing that people enjoy my artwork.
Yeah. It's a process. You know, we're never done. We're never done. You know what I mean? I think that's the biggest gift you can give yourself as a creative person. Because, yes, while we can always be like, I can do better and shit. Trust me, as a Japanese person, I know I know the shit that can get in our heads, specifically around like folk, like nailing down a craft and perfecting things, because that's part of the culture. But I think in terms of like telling ourselves constantly, like we're always iterating, we're always evolving. So what my style is now will not be the style. It will continue. It's just like, you got to go easy on yourself, because it's so easy to be like, fuck, this should be better. Fuck it. I'm done. I'm frustrated. Because that shit happens a lot. And it's very easy to burn out if you're not, you know, giving yourself those.
And they say that like just in parenting, when the worst thing to do is to compliment a kid on like their natural ability in something, and the better thing is to like treat it as a process where you're like kind of learning and, you know, make a verb of it, as opposed to like a commodity that the kid is like, wow, you really like get math, you're really good at math, and as opposed to like you're doing great in math is
all right.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you. You're on your way to being a mathematician.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. You have to sort of take out the pass, fail, good, bad binary that right. exists yeah. when talking about things like this, because they're not that simple. And because of that, like, look how we wander into all these sort of toxic ways of thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
That especially goes for things where it's, I think people get caught up in this, especially when it's like writing or doing things that aren't as like evident
mm-hmm.
outwardly as like mm-hmm. being able to draw really cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like making music where like feedback is a little more instant. Than,
right.
Yeah. Stuff.
Mm.
Especially you know, when podcasting. You got a wham bar.
Right.
Yeah. Feedback. I don't even think that was correct.
You mean whammy bar?
Whammy. I call it wham because we're tight.
We're having a moment.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, I think I would say the people who make our fast fashion clothes.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So like I just said before, I do a lot of textile art. And actually, one of my main mentors when I was starting in high school was someone who was an immigrant to the U.S. I was living in New York at the time. And she would mostly use like a knitting machine to do knitwear for these big brands and stuff. And she was making like okay money, but she wasn't making a lot compared to like how much she was putting out and how much these things usually go for. And I do feel like people are talking more about the problems with fast fashion in general, but, you know, like comparing, seeing like, oh, something is like handmade. If they've seen someone make it in front of their eyes, they treat it differently than something that's in a store, but that's also still made by a person. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of thinking about doing this. And then I saw this terrible article from the Cato Institute about how like, sweatshops or feminism? I don't know. It was like, oh, you know, actually, sweatshops are like good for women because like, don't you want them to be working in there instead of men? And it was like, are you kidding me? It was really wild.
God, who else but the Coke-funded Cato Institute could give us such a great take on something like that?
Yeah, so ooh. I saw that on my feed yesterday, and I was like, this is terrible. I know that it was on my feed because everyone was disagreeing with it, but like, it just still needs to be like addressed, like, because there are definitely people out there who do feel that way, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so much of the modern world, like the one of the big lies of the modern world is trying to hide like the work from the consumer, like the work that goes into the products, like Amazon. We've been talking about how, you know, in order for people to be like, I pressed a button and my product was on my doorstep an hour later, like those drivers have to pee in bottles and like there's real human suffering that is going into that. Fast fashion is a great example. One that I was kind of unaware of is that a lot of like the Facebook algorithm stuff and, you know, even Amazon, like all of those things that we assume are being done by an algorithm in the background, there's actually people who are watching the content that gets posted and like suffering from PTSD in order to like, you know, put these recommendations together. And like, we just... I think there's just a fetishization of like, we press a button, goes into the box and comes out what we want. And it's that's not the way things are actually operating.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. My gosh, this is like ages ago now. I don't know if you guys remember when eBay was trying to compete with Amazon and did eBay Now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's been a while. My younger brother was a driver for eBay Now, and it was something where it was like kind of like a startup, and it seemed very exciting at the beginning. But after the holiday rush, and he was like, it was the kind of thing where kind of similar to like, I guess, like DoorDash and all those things now are for food, like people would like buy stuff online, and then he would have to go drive over and pick it up and send it over to them. And it was just so stressful for him around the holiday season. And then like right after that, they fired like so many people, and he, I don't think he had his job for much longer after that. They really fizzled out. It was like less than a year. It was really rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just, it's all about, it's instant gratification and ignoring why it's instant is really the ethos, I think, of our consumer culture. And it's, and now it's bleeding into just how we look at everything. I mean, like societally, I'd say like America's in some form of free fall at the moment, but it's just like, I don't know, like, whatever. Like, there's just this very American way to just be like, let's just focus on the things that are still running and not the all the other things that are very rapidly unraveling. And like, you know, whether or not we have such a transparent crisis of policing that it's like, I don't know, like, let's, here's some articles on tasers. And if like, how, what is the weight difference?
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause you don't want to do, you don't want to look the ugly part in its eye and talk about that.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about that shit. And we're back, and we've been talking about how the post-pandemic, post-lockdown world is going to deal with the fact that there are people who are getting vaccinated, like good citizens, and then there are the people who don't believe in science or vaccines, and, you know, were protesting the fact that they had to wear a mask inside of grocery stores the whole time, and they're going to be hard to tell apart when the world opens back up. One solution was just people having their vaccine passports that they get when they get vaccinated. But a Daily Beast article is showing the limits to that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, overall, I think we've always just talked about how sticky of a situation it is, whether it's like the equitable distribution of these passes and how easy it is for someone to verify that they have been vaccinated or even get a vaccination.
Right.
And then the civil liberties complications is like, also you're like, this could be a slippery slope if not done right, to the point where I think it's received criticism from like nearly every end of the political spectrum. But I think the one thing now is we're seeing is that none of that really matters if the pass itself is so fucking janky that you can just off the sheer will be like, all right, I'm going to cook my own up. And yes, this Daily Beast reporter, without getting into the details, they're just saying, they sort of started this article of saying like, I was going to spend Easter Sunday, my entire Easter Sunday, trying to figure out if I wanted to get a fake, what they call the Excelsior pass in the state of New York, how I could go about doing that. And this is just the like first paragraph in the article is just going, quote, after getting consent from an Excelsior Pass user, I tried to download their pass, logging into their account using nothing more than public information from social media. 11 minutes after he gave me the green light, I had a copy of his blue Excelsior Pass in hand, valid for use until September. So where there's a will, there's a way, baby.
Right. We all just know have that. To hack into the account is basically what they found.
I have a feeling that someone like just Photoshop like, you just thing? Need the homie who's got an account who was able to get it. You get the login info, whatever other info. I mean, I think this person was trying to do it as like the hardest way possible rather than be like, yo, just give me all your info. Let me log in. Being like, okay, what could I do if I know this person's vaccinated and glean some things off the internet to then create a pass for themselves or at least log in as that person.
Yeah, but I'm sure that if that's the case, then there will be people that treat it like Netflix and just share their info with everyone that they doesn't want to get vaccinated.
Yeah, which makes the whole situation more complicated. It's like, what's the point? Because you don't rely on a thing that's vital to like, you know, this reopening plan or how to sort of reintroduce like full openings of places when you don't even have a system that's even reliable. Like, that's just then you might just don't even have one. Like, there's really, really no point to even have one if it can be easily duped like that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Lakers are opening back up. There's going to be fans at Lakers games in like
2,000, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or today, technically, for whenever this comes out.
Yeah. So it's all happening.
Yeah. And I don't know what I'm sure that'll be the next phase of, you know, pandemic stories, which is like, they thought they were safe and vaccinated until like whatever the fuck happened because there was no way to ensure anybody, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which will then cause more hesitancy with vaccinations, and everyone has access to the internet now. So let's see where it goes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Yeah. The only thing you can really do is just ensure your own safety.
Right.
Yeah.
Just know that, like, the people you're around are on the same page, because, yeah, it's not like there's a real clear methodology on how to do this the proper way, aside from A, just getting people on the same page in terms of being like, yes, vaccinations are going to be our way forward out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say, for, like, especially any listeners who can get vaccinated, they really should, because in Japan, they just started vaccinations on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it's only been like a few thousand elderly. And there's already been reports that when people miss their appointments, instead of giving the vaccine to someone waiting in line, hoping to get it, they throw it away.
Cool.
It's great.
That's fantastic. Very Japanese and not Japanese at the same time.
Yes, it is the battle. It's the battle of Motai Nai and Shogunai.
Yeah, it's like really. Yeah, you really. It, for people who don't know, Motai Nai is like, oh, what a waste. Like, shouldn't be wasteful. Like, and you see something like that, it's like, oh, Motai Nai. And Shogunai is just like this sort of nihilistic, like, well, what are you gonna fucking do about it?
Yeah,
exactly. Like stoicism. Right.
Yeah. Very big forces pulling, where you could either suddenly be like, oh, Motai Nai, nah. Like, oh, what a waste. Or just be like, nah, shogane. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to fucking do? So it's.
Yep. Yeah.
So. On one end, you see, like, yeah, like I see it in my mom, who will fucking reuse things infinitely in ways I've never seen possible because Motai Nai.
Yep.
Stechadame. Like, you can't just throw something away. Like, this is. This is a plastic thing with a shape that I can then use for something. I'm like, Mom, you can recycle that shit. And she's like, no, I will feed the possums the Ziploc with bags. This.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Inside out, baby.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yep.
Hang them outside, drip dries. I love it.
Exactly.
So let's move on to just the heart of darkness that I have to think is probably unparalleled in other countries, that is happening within the conservative movement in the United States. And that is these anti-trans children bills that are being rolled out very tactically across different states that are basically redefining child abuse to include, like in the legal definition, to include the most like healthy thing that a parent of a trans child can do for that child.
Yeah. So normally in Texas, this bill SB 1640, whatever, SB 666, whatever the fuck you call it.
Yeah, yeah.
The normally, yes, child abuse is defined like physical, emotional, sexual abuse, etc. But now they're adding the language, quote, administering or supplying or consenting to or assisting in the administering or supplying of puberty suppression, prescription drug or cross-sex hormone to a child other than an intersex child. Oh, they acknowledge intersex children. For the purpose of gender transitioning or gender reassignment or performing or consenting to the performance of surgery or another medical procedure on a child. So essentially, yes, the thing that all medical experts are saying, gender affirming medical procedures are the things that help keep these kids away from high rates of depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. That's rampant for trans youth and adults too, because it's a part of who you are. And so what there's to say that now this shit that, again, quote, a 2020 study published in Pediatrics found the earlier transgender youth get care, the less likely they are to suffer from depression and suicidal thoughts. That's nailed on. That's a fact from the medical community. But you are saying that now it's abuse to do the thing that would actually keep them safe? No.
Yeah.
It's absurd. And I think this is the tactical part comes in this other section, which is there's also a bill, SB 1311 in Texas, that is only a few degrees less evil, but still evil, because it only bans doctors from performing these procedures. See? Mm. Oh, nicey. So this is all, like, this is all by design. And a lot of activists and any people working in politics have seen this time and time again for many things. Put the fucked up bill out first and get everybody like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this shit.
Right.
And then you'd be like, oh, no, 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 no. Here's the, it says doctors will be arrested or lose their license to practice if they are the ones helping these children. Isn't that better? That's better. And now people are like, well, see, this Overton window shifting bullshit that they do. And again, like many people quick to point out, that's how you, that's called a slow motion genocide. Because you start doing this thing, oh, no, no, we weren't going to do that. What about just the doctors? They're punished. And then it's going to turn into, well, at least the camps we put these people in have Netflix.
Right. Yeah.
And now that's what we're going to be because we're allowing the discourse to move there. And I think more people, especially politicians, need to be unequivocal in calling this shit out for it's nonsense, transphobic, it's genocidal legislation.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the mention of intersex is only because, like, you know, if a child is considered not male and not female, we got to put them in one of those categories right away. That's the only reason why they're included. But it's just, like, so absurd. I saw that there was the quote from Jill Glover was saying that the 646 bill gives children a chance to get to adulthood with intact bodies. Like, we're not cutting up kids.
No.
Like, I don't know what they're imagining. And, like, the main thing that they're talking about here is, like, puberty blockers, because children don't want to go through that first puberty that their assigned sex, like, dictates, you know? So it's just really, really absurd. And it's so frustrating because I know so many people who would have, if they had that chance, they would have been so much happier if they didn't even get that, like, some people even go as far as saying it's like a poisoning, but it's just like, you know, those hormones, they don't want them. And, you know, they can stop puberty blockers anytime if they change their mind and then go through that puberty. It's just so, I mean, of course, there's no reason to it, but it's just so disgusting.
It's just to be able to, because this is part of the love of conservative ideologies. Like, who's the weakest group we can fuck with right now?
Right.
Who's different than cishet Christian white people.
Right.
So if you're not that, okay, well, damn, I guess too many people have rallied around people of color, not quite enough to really start abolishing police, but enough that they're like, well, let's focus on this other group that we can then brutalize and just sort of help assert our fucking faux sense of superiority over. It's all bullshit. And again, all of these bills, it's in 33 states now. Arkansas had the same one where the governor's like, I vetoed it. But it got overridden, so it didn't fucking matter. But the same thing was like, no, it's just banning doctors from doing it. Like, this is a thing that we're solving. Again, this is there's not a problem that it is solving in any situation. They can't point to it. Even with the sports bills about trying to keep trans kids from competing in scholastic sports, it's not, there's not a problem
now.
There's not a problem ever. There will not be a problem. Because you're just making shit up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much the media is going to begin to actually look at this in a sober-eyed way and be like, this is all the most horrific, violently transphobic legislation you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just happening out there, but they're going to keep debating what does it mean to be trans in sports or whatever? Like, you're missing the point with these other fucking articles unless you're going straight for the throat of these bigots.
Like,
come on now.
Checking the weight difference between this bill and the other bill. Like, it's like those articles being like, how different is a taser from the handgun?
What?
I know. I know a family that has a young kid who is trans, and, you know, they talk about it on social media, and the number of people, like, I feel like this bill is for the conservatives who go trolling to because people do just say the most vile shit to their family. And it's for that. It's like people, I don't know, it's so proactively judgmental and anti-Christian values in any conceivable way that I can possibly imagine. It's just wild that that's where this movement has gone. I feel like it's going to take a lot to in history books to be like, so wait, but these were supposed to be the people who are Christian people, but like they're everything they're doing is the opposite of that.
They're like, oh, Christianity, that dead religion?
Right. Right.
Oh, well.
They're like, I know people who still believe in Christianity.
Right.
Wow. How'd that go?
Yeah. Mm. No, for sure. But it's gonna they're gonna need a whole chapter just explaining the
I mean, not only that, how we're just the societal tone is like only a minority of people are like, what the fuck is this?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because even the people who unfortunately people who are gonna end up writing those history books, they're in the same fucking crowd right now being like, I don't know. That's not me. It's not affecting me. Like, I don't think it's that bad yet. Right? Did anyone die yet? I don't know. We'll talk about it when someone dies.
That is very hopeful. That is very hopeful that that's what history books say. All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. And all right. So in pop culture news, Colton Underwood, who is formerly The Bachelor, has come out as gay on Good Morning America, which has like started a bunch of conversations. One detail of his interview that kind of struck me as potentially harmful if taken in the wrong way was he said that like he knew he was more emotional than the other boys in his class at a young age, which like just I don't know ties into a version of like toxic masculinity where like you can't feel your feelings
I think it shows how much he's in. How much he's internalized that toxic masculinity.
Yeah, no, like totally.
Even in describing who he is, he's using the vernacular of toxic masculinity.
Right.
I was the more emotional little kid.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Just as a like emotional kid who then like felt like I had to sculpt all feelings into either anger or like competition because I was boy. I think that's so deeply ingrained and like easy to miss. And it just, you know, fucks people up for life. And he's trying to do, you know, a very healthy thing for him. And, you know, I'm sure there will
and
be
a Netflix show, too.
This.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't,
a healthy
the Netflix
thing for
show,
his Netflix
I don't know,
show.
I don't know how healthy that is.
Yeah. I was like, you know, do you, because I'll do me, but I would definitely looked at that headline a certain way when it's like, as part of a Netflix series, I'm like, you already sold the rights. Okay. Right. You know what? That's what capitalism do to you, though. You know, you got to be like, fuck it. I got to commodify me coming out because, like, that's what this is the culture I'm in right now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know much about this. I can't watch Bachelor. I can't watch American Bachelor, but
we got some links for you. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay,
you
know,
we'll help you out.
I do watch Bachelor Japan actually, but it's
what's Bachelor Japan like?
Oh my god! Okay, Bachelor Japan is really wild because kissing is so rare and so scandalous.
I know. I'm like, oh
yeah, but
what
I'm
is
watching
Bachelor Japan. Like?
it's low key. It's still very entertaining. It's really fascinating. But the one that I'm watching season three. There's three seasons of Bachelor and one season of Bachelorette. And Bachelor season three has been very interesting because this Bachelor Shinya is he partially grew up in France, so he's got like more Western ideals and stuff.
Oh,
and like
shit.
He's like legit. Like he speaks fluent French, and like they showed his host family and stuff. He was like going there every summer or something, but. Yeah, like he's been doing a lot of cheek kissing, and that was like, oh my god. And like other girls are like, oh my god, he's kissing everybody. What's going on? It's very funny. It's very funny what is scandalous on Bachelor Japan. But that being said, for this guy, like immediately what I saw was, you know, people pointing out that he's had like restraining orders on him with past girlfriends and like all these other things. And it just feels like, you know, there are definitely better gay people to have a show about this kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just,
Oh, damn, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw something. I think it was from She Rates Dogs, but I don't remember. Yeah. But the She Rates Dogs podcast also talks about Bachelor a little bit. So they should get into those kinds of things. But yeah, there's like a lot of, You know, like he was not a good boyfriend. Not that I'm surprised, but.
Oh, wow. He put a tracking device on this woman's car?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's too much.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, they got that Netflix special, though. Got that Netflix. Got the ink is dried on that shit. That's how quick this shit moves. It's right. The one thing one clip I saw that was so funny, though, was Billy Eichner was on his season. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Colton, you might be the first gay bachelor ever. And
oh my God,
it's this moment where, yeah, on the show at the time when he was on it, Chris Harrison's sitting next to him, and he was like, oh, I don't know. And you're like, whoa, okay, all right, Billy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he would know. He's very good at that, I think.
Yeah, Billy, out there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I know Robin Roberts in the interview was like, what do you say to the women who you like misled,
that's a weird question.
What do you say
to the women you misled?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, ugh.
I don't know. What do you say to yourself who was so tormented that they hid who they were?
Right. Yeah.
And I get, and I understand that there are stakes for other people in relationships, but I don't think being like, what about your guilt that for other people outside of it versus I don't like that duplicity shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It just, it's very, yeah, it, I think, yeah, it just like, it's so weird. Like that. I mean, I'm not surprised. It's definitely a thing that I've seen from straight women where it's like, wait, if the guy is gay, that, how is that? It's like, it's immediately, it's about their feelings. You know, it's just, that's definitely a thing. It's one of the things I forget about, but it's not. That's not a very appropriate question. There are definitely better better ways to phrase that, I would say. Definitely.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's talk Fast 9. I think we've all been chomping at the bit. Did you guys watch this trailer at all?
Yes, I did.
I saw half of it on mute as I was scrolling Twitter, and I saw a thing that looked like a rocket ship flying at an airplane, and I was like, okay, I can't look at this shit anymore. What the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Did I see that correctly? Was there a flying rocket car?
So the car fires out of a window, I believe, at one point, and then a jet comes down, I think, and scoops it or something.
Yeah. Oh,
like, God. It's all part of the...
Yeah. There's the whole thing about magnets. That's like the big, that's the new
that's,
test.
That got me excited. I'm not going to lie. The magnets got me fucking pumped.
Because I saw the thing where all this debris was like a car was going down the street and it was pulling all this debris out of shop windows and shit.
Yeah.
They know, look, they know what they're doing. Like, they're always good for, although I feel bad. I was so fucked up on edibles during Fast 8. I was asleep through that whole zombie car scene.
Oh my.
Yeah, I haven't really loved the last couple because it felt like they were all built around these big set pieces where it was, you know, the big plane or the submarine or, you know, and
the
like
ice
that's
glacier. Right?
That was the additional like element that they brought. Whereas this feels like more of a return to Fast 5 where it's just like. The big thing in that was that the cars had to tow around like a giant block of metal at one point, like for a robbery. Mm-hmm. And like this time they've got like magnets, which is, that's like the sort of simplistic, silly, fun kind of addition that just plays with the physics of the universe.
Mm. Right.
Without like going, being like, now they're chasing each other around the International Space Station. on cars. And The Rock is gone and they brought in John Cena, which is fun. Anytime they can, you know, take The Rock down a peg in the Vin versus The Rock battle, I'm for it. Because The Rock is all toxic masculinity and Vin is...
Hey, that's our fucking future president, man. You better watch out. Oh, you're going to be on a list. You'll be on a list. You'll be on an overly emotional,
candy ass.
You'll be a males acting like females list under President The Rock Johnson's direction.
Yes. Oh, no.
You know that motherfucker running. I'm scared as fuck for that.
I don't know if you guys know, Miles probably knows about the Japanese titles for Fast of Years because they're completely different.
Yeah.
That's like the first thing I did was like go to see what was the Japanese title for this movie. So,
What is it?
So, Jack, do you know the Japanese title for Fast and the Furious?
No.
So the base title is Wild Speed. So it's like Wild Speed times 2, Wild Speed times 3, Tokyo Drift, Max, Mega Max. Then even the Hobbs and Shaw one was Wild Speed Super Combo. So this one is Wild Speed Jet Break.
Jet Break.
Yeah.
Damn.
The last one was Ice Break.
Yeah, it was Ice Break. It was, right. So I was like, why are you using break again? But okay. Yeah.
Is Jet Break a phrase? I think it's like
breaking something with a jet, I guess, would be if we're going to do like, because jet, like, it could also be break, like break out. It's, you know, one of those things that just gets like.
Like ice break makes sense because we have like the phrase icebreaker, but.
No, but this is because that scene on ice, though, remember? They had all those ATVs.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was the submarine scene. Yeah, but
the thing is, the Japanese people don't know the phrase ice break. They don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Got it.
Just, they like it's anything. It's called katakana ego, which means English in katakana, which is enough to be like, oh shit, wild speedo, ice break. And you're like, oh, sure, I'm there. He said ice break, like that meant some shit. But my favorite, it's funny though too, how the titles are different because, you know, for people who fuck with the video games, the Resident Evil franchise is called Biohazard in Japan. Mm-hmm. And the Biohazard, like in the most recent one, it was called Resident Evil 7 Biohazard in the U.S., and then in Japan, it was called Biohazard 7 Resident Evil in Japan. Yeah, it's like this premiere image. Look, we got our own titles and shit like that. But yeah, the Japanese-ification of American film titles is like, it could probably be a coffee table book.
That's like something I love to like look at all the time. My favorite actually is like people like changing the titles of American movies to sound like another franchise that they can't legally do in the U.S. So like, for example, the American Pie movies, there are a lot of like pseudo American Pie like titles put on other teen movies that have nothing to do with American Pie to try to like work with that brand. The most interesting of which is I actually discovered this because of the movie She's the Man with Amanda Bynes. The Japanese title for that one is American Peach Pie.
Interesting.
It's just completely different. But yeah, that's like that whole world, I guess. I mean, and you know, there are some things that go the other way as well. Like when it comes to like Japanese movies and other countries' movies into the U.S., sometimes the titles change and stuff. But
wondering about is Detective Chinatown. Is that the name of that movie in China? Because it just seems like a real like racist, like dismissive way of describing a cop movie like from China. It's like, I don't know, a detective and then the place where I've seen Chinese people before.
Yeah, I would say probably not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's also the thing that's like, it's always like, oretachi, you know, to begin with it, like meaning we are like semi-pro. I remember is called the Will Ferrell basketball movie. Semi-pro is called like oretachi dunk shooter, which means dunk shoot is the lamest way to say slam dunk, to dunk a ball in Japanese. Yeah. It's called dunk shoot. It's like we call that.
They might not legally
here.
Even be able to do that because there's the series Slam Dunk. It's like the comic and the animated series.
Right. Because of it. Yep. I have my Shohoku jersey somewhere.
Oh, but, okay.
But like, that one just called We Are Dunk Shooter. And I think like there's so many are like the even Goon is like Oretachi, like something skater. It's like there's always this weird way of saying it's like we are this thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
You just referenced two underrated sports movies, Semi-Pro and Goon.
Goon is fucking underrated.
Goon is
I don't know Goon.
Oh, I know it's good.
My Stifler is a Stifler,
hockey player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'm surprised I didn't give it a apple pie, some sort of pie, tooth pie.
No, they don't. They can't usually do that with like same actors. I think the only exception might be Legally Blonde and Hot Pursuit.
They made that seem like a Legally
Blonde. So Legally Blonde is called Cutie Blonde in Japanese. Because they don't get the joke, right? And then Hot Pursuit, which is that, like, I don't think anyone watched the movie, but Reese Witherspoon is a like a cop or a bounty hunter or something. I don't remember. And Sofia Vergara is like a fugitive or something. But that's called Cutie Cop.
Hey, I mean, can't argue with it, right?
Yeah, it just it's interesting. It's a very different vibe, I think.
Dude, also Thor Ragnarok was called Mighty Thor Battle Royale.
Yeah
hell yeah. That's
I think it's because Thor by itself is like soul, so it's like soul. So
yeah,
short.
It's like one line just with a line soul.
Yeah, so they have to call it Mighty Thor in Japanese. Yeah.
And then I was just like, I'm looking at this listicle now. There's Knight's Tale was called Rock You.
What? Oh hell yeah!
Really?
Well, I mean, that is the notable thing of that show of that movie is that they did like a rock soundtrack.
Yeah, it wasn't like the trailer. Yeah. I think maybe the trailer did have that.
We will rock you. Yeah,
just a little bit of exchange. But yes, Goon. And it has like a little bit of Puccini Turandot in there, you know, from classical music heads. It's a great use of that song from that opera.
Mm, I see. Nice. I will have to check that out. Yeah.
All right. And let's talk about White Claw. They have introduced their 8% line of Surge, which are larger cans that have 8% alcohol by volume as opposed to the 5% of a normal White Claw. The Surge, so it's not, there does not appear to be any caffeine content Surge related thing going on.
Just weird here. Like Surge feels like a odd way to get someone who's like being like, I need a higher alcohol like ABV drink to be like, it's the Surge. I want, remember the Iraq War Surge?
Right.
Yeah, pick some different words, fam.
Yeah
It should be like White Claw Turnip. No, actually, don't do that because some idiotic marketing person would do that. Right.
Hey, we've got
White Claw turned up.
We'll see where this goes from here because obviously it seems like White Claw does a thing and then literally every beer manufacturing company like has to do the exact same thing. So in beer, the higher alcohol per volume is ice. Right, like Natty Ice and Bud Ice.
Oh, right.
So
but at that point, that's just a way for people to avoid admitting you're like, you're just drinking malt liquor, bro.
Well, so that's what that JM kind of put together some research on. Like, I think people assume White Claw is like literally a seltzer with vodka in it, like with distilled spirits in it, but it is actually just malt liquor. Like it's the same as a 40. It's because, and the reason they do that is because it would cost way more in taxes. Like distilled spirits are taxed at a much higher rate than fermented spirits are. And so like, even though a lot of people think it's made from vodka, it's a flavored malt beverage, just like Colt 45. They just, you know, took all the taste out of it and made it clear.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it made it out there? I know Smirnoff Ice seems like the most Western of the sort of jokey drinks that is there, aside from our beloved Can Chuhai.
Yeah, I was going to say Chuhai is definitely the thing, so I don't think, I think it's going to be a while before something like actually replaces
White Claw could never break apart a love affair that Japanese people have with Can Chuhai. That's just, Chuhai has been the flavored, not like, you know, a little alcohol, but a lot of sugar and it's easy to drink type drink for a minute. And I don't know, like there will have to be a huge shift.
Yeah, but I don't know. So. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I have no idea what White Claw tastes like. And
it tastes like shitty Can Chuhai.
Okay.
Because when I had it, I was like, man, y'all need to get on that Chuhai life. You know, that's a shochu highball. Okay, for people who don't know.
It's seltzer, so it's got to be like a little bit different, right?
Right.
Like,
it's not sweet.
But then they have the sweet ones too. That's like truly with lemonade. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's just a Mike's Hard. What do you?
Yeah, like don't do all this other naming shit.
I miss Mike's Hard actually.
Oh really? Oh, they don't have that in Japan yet.
You know, well, I'm not sure. I've never seen it, but I also, like, never drink. So,
You're not looking for it either.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, next time you're at the konbini, just look at that bottom row where all the weird, obscure malt drinks are in the drink case.
I'll let y'all know. Because, let me see. I think I drink only for my in-laws' family barbecue and the Christmas party. So, like, twice a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a family barbecue, then.
Oh, yeah. My sister-in-law is, goodness, 12 years older than me, and she can really handle her alcohol. she's adorable.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does White Claw get, like, do you get a vodka hangover or, like, a beer hangover? Because, like, vodka...
Hey, bro, I can't tell the difference anymore.
I was very discerning in my hangovers as my drinking. Like
whiskey is the one I always know.
Yeah, it's bad.
Just because I think for the amount of work your liver has to do because of it being a brown spirit. But
yeah.
I mean, I've never been like, yo, I'm getting fucked up off White Claw today. This is too much. Right. The volume of liquid is too much. And I don't want to pee all the time. It's nice to like get stealth drunk at a little baby's birthday. You know what I mean? Because you don't be banging shots. You're like, yo, I'm getting another White Claw. And you're like, just crushing it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, like the wave White Claw and all these seltzers rolled in one was just basically being like, hey, we know you drink fucking LaCroix.
Right.
You know, with booze. So I don't know. Is the next really iteration people really clamoring for more?
A less socially acceptable White Claw?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it feels like White Claw had an innocence. Like, I don't know, it's like a seltzer. It's got a little bit of booze in it, but we'll drink 40 of them and then we'll act like we're not, you know, we're not struggling right now.
Right.
Very interesting. I just learned that there are different kinds of hangovers.
Yeah.
Try them out. Do some A/B testing.
I have never had a hangover in my life.
Good for you.
In college, I definitely had some fun times, but never ended in hangover.
College, it's hard. Like, the times I had hangovers were essentially like, I didn't go to the hospital and I probably should have.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Fully.
There were multiple times when I was definitely suffering from like a hospitalizable level of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, because at that age, like you're like half of it is like, especially when you get you're about to end college, is the panic that you're leaving academia and you're going to have to enter like the real world. Mm-hmm. And then also like the chaos of college and trying to figure out your life and shit. Mm-hmm. That nihilistic engine for that kind of drinking, woo, that truly is like how I would end up like that. Cause I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
Yeah. Then, that makes sense.
Then you learn to give a fuck. You know what I mean? Then you begin to take care of yourself. But
yeah. That's when I got into Wild Speed to do a throwback there. and we'll leave it at that. But
oh, shit.
Yeah. Bad times. Well, Ayumi, it has been such a pleasure having you on Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm still like so excited that I even got to be here in the first place. But
so cool.
I have Twitter and Instagram are the same at Ayu Shinows. So AYUSHEKNOWS. I'm more on Twitter than on Instagram. But I actually just found out like a few hours ago that I have been approved to start selling prints. So if you see my work and you like it, then hopefully by the time this actually drops, then I'll have an imprint shop as well.
Cool.
But I also do commissions, and that's kind of like my main thing right now because my part-time job is more part-time than I expected. And my commissions go as low as $5. So like,
hey,
wow.
I'm going to get a couple then.
Are the ones in your pinned tweet commissions or some of those commissions?
The paintings are not. The paintings are like just me having fun, wanting to paint people that I think are all awesome. But
yeah,
I think both of them. No, actually only one of them is actually a commission. The one that's just line work. That one was, that was like a little extra, but that's like the basic idea if you want something very, very simple. Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah. And I have a podcast also. I do need to plug it. So my podcast is Sparkleside Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. I talk with people who are fans of Magical Girl series, mostly Japanese ones, but honestly worldwide. And my guests are also from all around the world, which is really fun. And those drop on Tuesdays, I guess pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. So that can be found. You can find the Twitter for that at Magical Girl Ayu. And that's also on Instagram if you prefer that there. Yeah.
yeah. Check it out. And is yes. there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. I was searching all day for the funniest tweet. And like just about an hour before we started, I found someone brought to my attention an amazing video tweet. it's just like this incredible. It's a 2-minute video, but it's about how to find contraband in your own house if you don't trust your teenage children. And it's from, it says, here's New York City Mayor candidate Eric Adams teaching you how to search your own home for contraband. And no, this music was legit already there. I didn't alter anything in these excerpts. So this is tweeted originally by popular knapsack at SoulCon, KHAN.
Nice.
But yeah, please this watch video. This video.
The way it's, I'm so nervous because this dude looks like a correctional officer.
Oh
that me, what is this, a Darren Aronofsky scene?
But you gotta like watch the whole thing because it's the ideas of where you would find things and what you would find. It's just
this is
he said a small caliber weapon could be hidden inside a jewelry box.
Hey,
yeah,
okay. Don't think they won't do it.
God damn.
God almighty. That's cool dad. Cool dad.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's just so funny, like, when somebody is such a, like, they're so cop-brained like that.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're like, you don't even know what a person is. Everybody's a fucking perp to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
This black man got cop-brained so quick. Your own child was, what, running guns?
The perp is eating with your wife at the dinner table. This is a great opportunity to sneak up and do some reconnaissance.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And, and don't bother asking your kids questions about their lives and be engaged as a parent. Right. Be suspicious and always suspect they have guns on them. What?
Yeah.
Dad?
It's so wild. Yeah, it's, but yeah, just please watch the whole video, everyone. It's so funny. I'm about
that string music is a way too much. And I'm more than anything, I want to see the editing process of that video where this man had notes. And I was like, no, man, we need to ramp this up a little bit. Yeah, get some fucking, you know, get that. I found this soundtrack from Schindler's List. Let's put this violin underneath this when we're suspecting our child of being in touch with their own bodies.
Yes. It's it's really wild.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Okay, check that one out. A few tweets I like. First one is at Perrine from Weird Alex Perrine, P-A-R-E-E-N-E, says, I'm no public health expert. From what I've seen, the clotting issue needs study. But since it only affected women, the right move would have been for the FDA to declare J&J the dude's only vaccine, then print t-shirts that say, it takes a real man to handle this, Johnson.
that would have actually worked. Probably. Shit.
Another one, Strictly Christo, C-H-R-I-S-T-O. Right-wing conservatives are here to convince you that murder is an appropriate response to property damage, but property damage isn't an appropriate response to murder. Hey. And because we've been talking about Fast and Furious titles, this is from at Boing Loin Hitter. Interesting.
Oh, yes.
It says, the next movie should be called Fast 10 Your Seatbelts.
I mean... Not wrong.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely
yep,
not wrong.
Absolutely.
Let's see some tweets. Avery Edison tweeted just a memory that blew my mind. Every time I drink milk, I remember my roommate who used to put powdered milk in his milk so he could drink, quote, more milk per milk.
What?
More milk per milk.
Oh my God. No.
I fuck with that logic.
At Rax King is Dead tweeted, everyone knows that when you wipe food on your leg, the food particles evaporate upon contact with the leg particles. And then Ben Joseph at Jen Bosef, a very, very funny college humor, cracked writer, now Simpsons writer.
He's right on The Simpsons?
He wrote a couple episodes of The Simpsons. Yeah.
Damn, Ben Joseph. I didn't know that. Okay.
Nice. He was replying to Amber Ruffin's "What is the worst song you ever loved?" And he said, "Years later, I found out my high school friends called Orr's Crazy Game of Poker, quote, that bad song Ben likes." Because I liked Crazy Game of Poker for like a semester in college and never really come to terms with that. But that song is bad. Mm-hmm. Has a part that goes ba da 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 da.
Like straight scattering?
Yeah, just straight scatting.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love it. We love it.
That was the craziest game of poker I ever saw. Is
Scottity dot dot ba ba da
da. Woo! And it's like 11 minutes long. So it's you like it for a little bit, and then when you fall out of love with it, you're like, oh my God, this is
shitty Freebird.
Yeah. Anyways, shout out.
Is there at least a solo? Like Freebird, at least they're like, hey, take the solo away for 3 minutes. But this is just straight like 11 minutes of singing about this poker. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Straight like jam bandy vibes, but without the solos. Yeah. Check it out, everyone.
Without the solo, like, yeah. How are you? Y'all are jamming.
Yeah. That scat that I just performed for you is the solo.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode and also link off to a song that we think you might want to check out if you like good vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Miles, what is your recommendation to the listeners?
I want to do a track by Reina Tropical and Ila Bamba, who we've played some tracks from Ila Bamba before, her shit bangs. But this meetup is really great, really good rhythms to it. It's called Encerrada, meaning closed, right? Yeah. So case closed on this one because it's a banger. Check it out, Reina Tropical and Ila Bamba with Encerrada.
All right. Go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.